Thank you so much. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 101. Just to give you a little bit of a laugh before we start. During the choir song, if you were sitting on this side, especially, Pastor said he thought I was trying out a new look because my pant leg had actually made its way all the way up to my knee, and I just could not get that thing down. And I was trying, every now I'm leading and trying to get it down off of the leg, and it just would not go down. And so that was a little bit embarrassing, but hey, that's all right. That's all right. I feel I'll tell you, we can have a good laugh about it. Now it's over. Great. Awesome. Let's move on. Psalm 101 tonight. You know, there is a heavy emphasis today on our media. And I would say if I were to maybe take a poll and ask how many of you are on some kind of social media, I'd say we're probably around 90% inside of this auditorium right now. Some of you are still kind of holding out. You're holding out on us on Facebook or Instagram or whatever you do, Twitter or whatever. But most of us, I would say, are probably on social media. Not only that, but media has grown as far as even in our entertainment to the point where the ease of access to any kind of DVD, movie, TV show is right at our fingertips, literally, almost all the time. And so this is a very important issue that I'd like to talk to you about that, frankly, if you'd like to know some of the things that I deal with inside of youth group, if you'd like to know some of the things that I deal with on the teens on a personal level, some of these things tonight are things that I would preach to the teens. Why? Because their generation is going to grow up probably with even more of a problem with media as far as the Christian response to it than we are. And so as we look at this area of our life that you say, Pastor Nick, well, cell phones weren't in the Bible. Yes, I realize that, okay? I know that David wasn't walking around calling his brothers, all right? I know that people weren't on Facebook in the Bible times. I get that. But there are great principles in God's word to give us great answers as how the Christian should respond to his media and entertainment in this world today. And so if you want to take a look at Psalm 101 with me, Psalm 101, we'll take a look at verse number 1 through 3 quickly. The Bible says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let's pray together. Dear God, just thank you so much for a little bit of scripture that we're going to be diving into fully tonight that will help us understand how we should respond to media and entertainment. God, you created pleasure for great purposes in our life. You created it. Lord, we hopefully are taking advantage of it as Christians in the right way. But God, the world wants to take care of the thing that you created. They want to take over it. They want to twist it and use it in a way that would dishonor you. And so, Lord, help us to be careful. Help us to have our eyes open. Help us to know exactly how you would like us to handle our media in today's day and age. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'd like to give you a clear and present lesson on the subject of the media for Christian. I'd like to preach on the determining factors when it comes to the realm of media and how these determining factors will help us to keep our eyes away from that which is wicked. If we take a look even in this psalm right here, the Bible says in Psalm 101 verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto the Lord. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Understand the psalmist's focus continually was on the Lord. And so if we tonight will just take a second and consider the fact that before we even get into this talk about media, what's wrong, what's right, maybe some of the things we should ask ourselves when we're about to either watch a movie or we're about to sit down with our family and enjoy some time in front of the TV, something of that nature, we should always take a second and refocus on the Lord. Refocus on God Almighty, because if our focus on God Almighty is see, you get it. It's the pant leg, I'm telling you. It killed me. If we just take a second and focus on the Lord before we do anything else, I believe that it'll help steer our media and entertainment in the right direction. Tonight, before we even get into the notes, I'll tell you the 4 points. The 4 points are very simple. Before we even get there, it's our eyes, our time, our growth, and our passions or our love. Those are your 4 points tonight. And inside of each of those points, I have questions that will help guide us to what will be right or what will be wrong inside of our media and entertainment. I can tell you, Christian parents out there, media can be very dangerous. Teen parents, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. I want to tell you something that the teenagers probably will hate me for, but still, it's the best thing that you can do. Have every single account and password name for every single social media site that your teenager is on. I'm telling you, be careful. There are several social media sites that I would never, ever, ever recommend. Social media sites where you literally today can send a picture to another person and that picture evaporate into nothingness within the time that they look at it and then seconds later. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Christian, we need to be aware of how God wants us to handle media in our day and age. So tonight, without going any further, let's take a look at the first factor in this realm of media. The first factor as far as God would like us to consider when going into our entertainment. And number one, I believe, is our eyes. Our eyes. If you'll take a look at verse number 3 with me, it's very clear. Verse number 3, the psalmist says, David says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I can tell you that there were guys in my Bible college that on their computer screen, they would leave a 3x5 index card and they'd put it right there next to their computer screen. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes to remind themselves that they cannot look at anything evil, understanding that God is present with them. And I think if we had a healthy understanding of God's continuous awareness, this would definitely help us. But I think, Christian, we need to realize that God wants us to guard our eyes. This is why we tell the little kids, this is why eventually we'll teach my daughter the song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? You know that song, okay? Some of you are like, I've never heard that in my life. Well, that's a good one, so you should learn it. Because it's good for even adults. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, be careful. Because what you see, you can't unsee. Christians, be careful what you put in front of your face. Because you cannot undo that. You cannot undo what you see. And you can try as hard as you want, but once you see that thing, the devil will try to use that over and over and over. Even if it's just for a split second, you're like, oh no, what did I just see? I can tell you the devil will try to use that over and over in your life. And this is how addictions begin. This is how addictions begin. You know, even in the area of media, I believe that our kids are going to experience an addiction that we really never had to worry about, and it's an addiction to cell phones because they can't take their eyes off of it. Be careful what you see. You might be saying, Pastor Nick, you know, I really am not really tech savvy. I'm not really the person with an iPhone and a big laptop, and we really don't even have a TV. Well, this goes into all areas of the Christian life. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you've got to be careful what you set before your eyes. Now, David obviously is the perfect example. Even though he said this, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, he's also the perfect example of why not to even glance. Do you remember? Do you remember the story? 2 Samuel chapter number 11, I believe it is. Might not be that exact chapter, but 2 Samuel chapter number 11, I believe what happened was that David was supposed to go to war. Do you remember this? He was supposed to be at the war with the kings. And guess what he was doing? He was at home resting. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, except for he was being lazy. I mean, that might be a problem. So what does David decide to do? He gets up from his laziness. He's doing nothing. He gets up from his laziness and he decides at night to just take a glance. Take a glance over the city. And what does he see? Well, he shouldn't have been up at night anyway looking around. He sees Bathsheba bathing. He couldn't undo it. He needed her. He wanted her. He got her. He sinned with her. And he faced the consequences of that sin. Keep in mind, Christian, our eyes are powerful tools. Our eyes are powerful tools, and they are tools to be used for the master's good. Think about how our eyes can see the need in someone's life, and they can see someone that needs a savior, that someone that just needs a loving hand in their life, and go and help them as best as that we can. How our eyes can take a look at God's inspired word and meditate. We talked about it this morning. How our eyes can see his word, and that's beautiful. But understand that just as God created our eyes for the good things in our life, Satan knows how to twist it and turn it to use for his good. Our eyes are a big factor when it comes to media. Take your Bible to Psalm 119. Since we're in the Psalms, I figure we should go there. Psalm 119, verse number 37. Psalm 119, verse number 37. Oh, this is a really great, great verse. Psalm 119, verse number 37. If you're struggling with what you look at, verse number 37 will really help. The psalmist says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." In other words, turn my eyes away from worthlessness. Turn my eyes away from nothingness. Things that will not matter. Things that will not help. Things that will not encourage. Things that will not build up. Things that will not edify. Turn my eyes away from it. Christian, what if we responded to our media, our movies, our TV shows, whatever it is that we are involved in, and just said, "God, keep my eyes from evil and allow me not to watch things that are just worthless." I even in my own life had to think, there are so many worthless things, just things that may not be bad or may not be good, just worthless that I watch, just pointless, just stupid, to be honest. And this verse has really helped in saying, turn my eyes away from it. Help me to find something else to fixate my time on. Our eyes. Our eyes are so important. How do we know that our eyes can lead us in the wrong direction? Remember Lot? Remember Lot? You know what's really interesting about Lot is that Lot lifted up his eyes. You know, I have this theory. We had this with this teacher at college. His name is Brother Houck, and he had this theology that wasn't necessarily in the Bible, if you catch what I'm saying. He had these ideas about things that weren't really written about. And so we called it Houckology. But I've got this theory. I don't know if you could say Pierre Vicentiology, but I've got this theory that Abraham's there, and Abraham tells Lot, "I want you to look to the right, okay? And I want you to look to the left. If you go east or left, then I'll go west. If you go west, then I'll go left. Whichever side you go to, I'll go the opposite way." But I believe that Lot lifted his eyes up beyond Abraham, a place that Abraham, the man of God, by the way, a place that Abraham never even mentioned. He lifted his eyes to a place that Abraham wouldn't have gone, I believe, in my own heart. He lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? He saw Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw Sodom and Gomorrah before God wiped them out. He saw the plain of Jordan, and yes, it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed it. And yes, Lot decided, you know what? That looks good to me. And so Lot had to have it. And so when you look in the account of Lot in Genesis chapter number 13, you'll find that Lot saw, and so he eventually went and eventually took part in, to the point where the Bible says that he pitched his tent facing Sodom. Every single day, Lot pitched his tent a little closer. That word "pitched" is in the perfect tense. Just means that every day it took place. Every day he packed up his tent, just moved a little closer. every day, he packed up all his stuff and moved a little closer. Might not have been the day, it might not have been a week, it might have been a month. I don't know how long it was, but before long, the Bible talks about how Lot was sitting in the gates of Sodom. In other words, here's what that means. He was literally a city councilman in Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what? By that time, Sodom and Gomorrah already had a reputation. They already had a sin problem. But what did Lot do? He lifted up his eyes. Be careful. Be careful what you look on. The Apostle Paul, and I use this verse so often when dealing with the teens on media or anything else, because this verse is kind of the sifter by which all music, all movies, all media should be sifted out. Philippians chapter 4, turn there with me. Philippians chapter number 4. This verse is excellent. It's like if you were to go to the beach and you're trying to find treasures or whatever, you place the sand in the sifter and you kind of take that sand and you move it around a little bit like that, and it leaves the sand on the ground, and it leaves those things that might be valuable on top of the sifter. I'm sure some of you have used them before. Take a look at this verse. This is really interesting. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8 says, "Finally, brethren," and I'm sure most of you have memorized this verse at some point in time. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Well, how do we think on things? We see them. We see them. What enters into our eyes will eventually make its way into our mind. And so if we are looking at things that are not honest, that are unjust, that are impure, that are not lovely, that are not of a good report, that are not of any virtue, that don't have any praise, we should not be looking at them. Right. Why? Because eventually we'll be thinking about those things. The Apostle Paul basically sifts out our entertainment. He says, okay, is this show honest? Does it speak of the truth? Is this show pure? Is this show lovely? Does this show have I love this word, good report, or this phrase, good report. That's really interesting. In other words, here's the illustration. If we were to place up on this screen everything that you watched this week, would you be embarrassed? That's good report. Do you understand? That's what that means. A good report amongst the church. Why? Because he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ. So I want to give you three questions to ask yourself when it comes to the eyes and what you look at as far as your media. Number one, is it pure? Is it pure? Is this something that stains the name of Jesus Christ, or is it pure? You know, listen, I understand that you know, there are different things in entertainment that's you know, it's just kind of a fun show or whatever to watch, and it's not like it's a Christian show, but it's not a bad show. But is it pure? Is it pure? Number two, is it lovely? Is it lovely? This is really interesting. Is it lovely? You know, one of the things that I was thinking about is the major draw to movies today. The major draw in movies. And I can tell you the major draw in movies is one word: violence. Violence. The major draw in movies today is violence. There are a couple other things, but violence is the number one. Because I can tell you the top three movies in America today, I researched this: adventure, where there's heavy violence; action, where there's heavy violence; and thrillers, where there's heavy violence. Those are the three big draws in movies today. Violence and lovely don't really go together. They don't go together. And you know, it's hard, you know, because you think, oh man, you know, what about you know, where good overcomes evil, you know, and it's, you know, superheroes and things like that. I understand what you're getting at, but is it lovely? I've had to deal with this myself. Over the past several months, I've had to deal with this question in my own heart. Is it lovely? And then, of course, I already went over this, letter C. Is it of a good report? If this time together. And it's not a judging time together. I'm just trying to give you some help and some hints as to how we should regard our media and movies and things that we look at on Facebook, things we look at on Instagram, things that we look at on Snapchat, whatever it is, okay? Which, by the way, teen parents, I do not condone Snapchat. I do not at all. Not at all. If you want more information on it, but that was the exact social media site that I talked about 20 minutes ago, where you can send a picture and it'll be gone in 20 seconds after you look at it. I do not condone it whatsoever. Not for your teens. Is it of a good report? Is it something that you could talk about around another Christian and not feel embarrassed, not feel like, oh man, you know, I can't believe that I watched that. I can't believe that. Is this something that if Jesus Christ walked into the room right now, you could speak to Jesus Christ about? I mean, that's the tell-all, right? It really is. But I mean, why should our life be governed by anything else? Our eyes. Number two, our time. This is the big one, I think. I think most of us, we've got the eyes down, but when it comes right down to it, our time is the big one. Psalm 90, take your Bibles to Psalm 90. I've got kind of an interesting story about this verse. Psalm 90, there's a teacher of mine that I want to tell you about, but Psalm 90, verse number 12. Psalm 90, verse number 12. So, such an interesting verse. Psalm 90, verse number 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Again, so teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I had this teacher, and I know as soon as I say this, Kelly and my wife are probably going to laugh at this, but I had this teacher in college that, or this professor that took this big bowl, and he's kind of like a math guy, and he counted up so many years worth of marbles in days. And so he took that amount of marbles and he poured it into this huge, huge jar or bowl. And what he does every single day is he takes a marble out of that jar or bowl, whatever he has it in, and basically throws it out. And basically that is to teach him to number his days. Basically representing a day of his life gone. The first time I heard this, I almost died laughing. Because I was like, that's really morbid. I don't want to see how many days of my life are gone. But if we really took into consideration this verse, teach us to number our days, what he does is extremely wise. Because when he looks back and he sees, wow, you know, the average lifespan is 75, 76, I don't know, 80 years old, something of that effect. And I've only got so many marbles left here to use for God's glory. How can I use each marble for God's glory? It's amazing when you really put it like that. Our time is really all that we have outside of Christ. Our time, that's it. And every single second, it's gone. I want you to think about your time when you think about your media. How much time do you spend looking at that phone? How much time do you spend looking at that computer screen? How much time, and I think it's kind of the funny story or the funny way of putting it, how much time do you spend on Facebook when you should be in God's book? How much time do you spend in Instagram when you should be in His book? How much time do you spend just mindlessly looking at stuff? And I can tell you, I'm including myself in this group because there was a point where I literally would mindlessly just scroll on my phone, almost not looking at anything. But then God got a hold of my heart about my time. My time on earth, it should be used for Him, not looking at invaluable things of vanity. Your time. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'll go quickly through the next couple points, but these are the two big ones. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15. It says the following. Ephesians 5:15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circumspectly just means carefully, cautiously, walk carefully. And then it says redeeming the time, and it deals with our use of time and making profit of that time. Is your media making profit of your time? Is it profitable? If you look at the way that you spend your time, I want to ask three simple questions. One, is it necessary? Is it necessary for me to be on social media right now? Is it necessary for me to be looking at this right now? Maybe it's not even just, you know, your media. Maybe it's your entertainment. Is it necessary for me to go and do this right now? Is it necessary when God has only given me one life? Is it profitable? Is it profitable? Letter B. Is it profitable? James 4 says the following. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time, or a little time, I'm sorry, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Your life is just a vapor. Is the time that you're using profitable? And when I say profitable, Christian, here, listen, profitable as far as eternity is concerned. You know, I was thinking about some of the men that were retired that came out to help at the college. There was a man by the name of, his last name was Walther. And I didn't necessarily know him very personally, but I know, and here's why, because he spent a lot of time at breakfast with a lot of the college students. I didn't get up in time to go to breakfast, okay? But anyway, he spent a lot of time at breakfast encouraging the college students, encouraging those who were there, and just helping them to continue on. And you know what's interesting? I was thinking, that was valuable in eternity. Edifying someone else is valuable. That man was retired. He could have been doing anything else, but every single day he was at that college. Just eating breakfast with the students, enjoying them, edifying them, encouraging them. That's profit. That's profit. Making use of your time for eternity's sake. Is it necessary? Is it profitable? Is it just? Is it just? Number three. And what I mean by this is, am I just in spending time watching this or doing this? Am I just in spending time? Maybe instead I can take time with my family and meditate on God's word with them. Maybe instead I can take time with my family and just go over and pray about some things. Maybe I could just take some time with my family and just really talk to them. See how they're doing. Encourage them in the Lord. Is it just? Number three, not just our eyes, not just our time, but our growth is concerned. Our growth is concerned. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I know we're turning a lot, but this is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 12. Some of you might know this verse of the Bible. The Apostle Paul begins by saying, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And you know what's really interesting is that we're starting this RU program, and a drug or alcohol abuser will probably tell you that there's some kind of strange power in drugs, some kind of strange hold in the drugs that they take. But I can tell you the problem in America today is that there's some kind of strange power in media. There's some kind of strange power over our teens when it comes to their media and their cell phones and their addiction to it. And I can tell you there's some kind of strange power in adults when it comes to media, cell phones, things like that. I can tell you it affects me. It affects me. I am a tech guy. I love techie stuff. I do. But when it comes right down to it, does it have power over me? You might say, no, it doesn't. Well, try going without your cell phone for 2 days. Yep. It's almost like you have withdrawals. I'm telling you. It's almost like you search your pockets for it at times, and you don't even realize what you're doing. You search your pocketbook for the ladies for it, and you don't even realize what you're searching for. I went without my cell phone for a couple days about a year ago, and I remember literally looking in my pockets. And there was nothing there. And I stopped and I was like, why am I looking in my pockets? I was looking for my cell phone. I can tell you that media can be hard on growth. Why? Because we just spend so much time, like we just talked about, on it. You know, what's really interesting is, yes, it may be lawful for you to be able to use the cell phone, obviously. There's no rule in the Bible against it. You can watch movies. There's no rule in the Bible against watching movies. Okay? I mean, the right kind of movies. There's no rule in the Bible against watching the right kind of TV shows. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things will not impact my growth in Jesus Christ. When it comes to our media, will it be expedient for you as far as your growth in Jesus Christ? Or does it have such a power over you that you just can't let it go? Is it expedient? But when it comes right down to what you're watching, what you're doing, what you're doing on social media, what you're doing through media, what you're doing in your own entertainment, letter B, is it mature? And I want to go back to our actual text here. And I want to take a look at a phrase that's really interesting to me. In Psalm 101, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, in a mature way, in a way that's complete, in a way that's perfect as far as my growth in Jesus Christ. Is my media leading me something that just useless or pointless? Like we talked about before, it's vanity, it's worthlessness. It's just something that's stupid. 1 Corinthians 13:11, I think you know, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Adults, how about our media? Is it helping us to grow? Is it expedient? Is it mature? Letter C, is it acceptable? Is it acceptable? Romans 12:2, and you know this as well. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So is it acceptable? I know this is speaking about the will of God, but when you look at the verse, it says, be not conformed to this world. So is what you're watching conformed to this world, or would it be in that column that is acceptable to God? I remember a while back when I was in high school and I had a report card that wasn't so good. In fact, it was quite bad. It was in ninth grade, and ninth grade was a mess of a year for me. Pastor will probably remember that year. Oh man, it was a mess. I was a mess. Oh, Mrs. Gray was my homeroom teacher. Oh, Mrs. Gray remembers that year. Oh, I was a mess. I remember giving that first quarter's report card to my dad, and he used a couple words outside of this, but he was not very happy with me. He was, but he said, this is unacceptable. And I wonder if we were to present our lives and our media before God, if he would say, this is acceptable, or this is unacceptable. It's amazing. It's amazing what just principles in Scripture will do to help us in this journey of what is right in our media. And number four, the aspect that we have to consider, the consideration is our love or our passions. Our love or our passions. Proverbs 21:17, and I'll read it for you. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. John 2:15-17, you might know this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Is it a passion of yours? Your media? Your entertainment? Is it your passion? Is it your love? Because it should not be. It should not be. You might enjoy doing certain things, but it should not be your love. It should not be what you look forward to doing when you get home at the end of the day. That shouldn't be what drives you. I mean, I can't wait to get home to turn on Netflix. I can't wait to get on. And you, it might be you thinking in your head, I actually did that one day. I looked forward to going home and turning. Now I hope you realize, even myself, how almost ridiculous it sounds. I can't wait to get home to turn on Hulu, Netflix, whatever service you use, Amazon Prime. I'm there with you. I'm sitting in the audience right now, okay? I'm going through these things, okay? I'm with you. Media is it's an addiction. It's an addiction. Our passions. So in this area of our passions or our love, does our media, letter A, add passion for Jesus Christ? Does it add to our passion for Jesus Christ? And everything that we do, we should ask this question. Is this going to add to my passion for Jesus Christ? Remember this morning, the verse that we used in Colossians? Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, remember this, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Does it add to my passion for Jesus Christ, what I'm viewing, what I'm doing, what I'm placing in my life for entertainment? Or letter B, simply, does it subtract from my passion for Christ? Listen, if it's adding to your passion for Jesus Christ and it's conforming to the other principles that we laid down, hey, by all means, great. But if it's subtracting from your passion from Jesus Christ, there's a problem, because there should only be one king on the throne of your heart. Amen. I realize that we are getting into a generation. How many of you, there's this, I don't know if I should really quote a movie from the stage when I'm talking about media. How many of you have seen WALL-E, the teasing movie WALL-E? Okay, it's a G-rated movie, okay? It's a cartoon. In the movie WALL-E, what's really interesting is that it's planet Earth, like, I don't know, 100 years from now, when they figured out how to, like, survive up in space, and Earth is destroyed, and it's this cartoon of this little thing roaming around. And what's really interesting is that you have all these humans surviving in space. And if you can imagine Pixar is doing this, okay? They're all fat. They're all huge. I mean, they're fat people laying on these beds watching. Their screen is right in front of them like this, and they, like, don't move. They just lay there. If you've ever seen WALL-E, you know what I'm talking about. The rest of you are like, I don't have no idea what he's talking about right now. But I thought about that. I was like, man, that's going to be us if we do not get rid of this addiction to media as Christians. We'll be just sitting, laying around, watching pointless and worthless videos and on Facebook continuously. Worthlessness. Now, all these things can be used for the right reasons. I've seen Facebook used for awesome reasons. I've seen Instagram used for great reasons. I've seen websites built for the glory of Jesus Christ to bring people to church. I love our church website. Man, I love that we have that. I love that we have a church Facebook page. I love that we have those things because they can be used for the right reasons. But I'm telling you, Christian, be careful. Be careful, because media is dangerous. I was reading, if you don't know C.S. Lewis, he wrote a very interesting piece of work. It's called The Screwtape Letters. How many of you have ever read Screwtape Letters? Screwtape is writing to his nephew. They are both demons. And they are demons that are plotting to basically ruin Christians' lives. And Screwtape is writing to his nephew Wormwood, and Wormwood is receiving these letters, and Screwtape is explaining how to maybe get the best of the Christian. And Screwtape writes on pleasure. And Screwtape says, realize that pleasure isn't ours to use, but we can manipulate it. God made pleasure, and in fact, in the Screwtape letters, he says he made pleasure, meaning God. God made pleasure. He did. God made pleasure. God made entertainment. He did. He made our brain. He made our brain, and he allowed us to be entertained by these things. But when it comes right down to it, the devil likes to manipulate all that God created. He does. So be very careful. Be very careful with the things that the world tries to manipulate. When I talk to the teens, I give them tips for choosing video games, choosing TV shows. I tell them, listen, I don't have a problem with you playing video games, okay? I really don't. Just considering your time, considering your eyes, considering your growth, and considering your passion. Where all those lie, you know, you can use it for entertainment, that's fine. But I give them a few tips. And I think these tips will be helpful at the end here. I tell them to flee anything that even seems demonic. No zombies, no evil spirits. Get away from that stuff. Amen. Get away from it.
Right.
I tell them flee filthy communication. All kinds of filthy communication. Communication in the Bible, as far as I believe it's Hebrews chapter number 13 is concerned, communication is their lifestyle. I tell them flee communication verbally, visibly, and physically. Flee all of those things when you choose your video game. You know what else I tell them? I tell them, ask your parents' advice. Ask your parents' advice. And if your parents aren't saved, ask for your pastor's advice. And then I tell them, follow biblical instruction. If we just applied those things even to our TV shows, movies, things like that, we wouldn't have any problems with media. But so often, we forget when we're watching movies, things like that, that there is a Bible, there is a God, and he does care about what we set in front of our eyes. So tonight, understand that media can be dangerous, Christian. And you might think, well, this is kind of a weird message. It's kind of a weird message, but I'm telling you, we should be able, Pastor Weigel, myself, Pastor DeWanna, to take the Bible and to show you how to deal with everyday things. And so often, Pastor Weigel does. So often, I'm so happy that he tells us how to deal with everyday things as far as even politics are concerned, things like that. I love it. So why not deal with something that we all have to deal with in life, media? Tonight, I hope that you have the right response to media in your life. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, just thank you so much for some helpful principles, Lord, some helpful tips. And God, I pray that these are things that I would be able to apply to my life as well as the Christians in here. We'd be able to apply to their lives. Lord, I pray that this was somehow helpful. I pray that this was somehow a blessing or an impact in someone's life. Lord, I pray that, God, you would help this to take place throughout the week as they think about what to watch or what to view with their family, Lord. What to do about their social media. What to do about their friends on social media. Lord, I pray that this would be a blessing to them and a help to them. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all